Ladies and gentlemen, councillors, it's 6 p.m. I'll declare the ordinary council meeting of the 27th of the 8th, 2024 open. Please be upstanding for the prayer and acknowledgement of traditional owners. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace and beauty of this area. Direct and prosper the deliberations of this council for the advancement of the city and the welfare of its people. Amen. We'd like to acknowledge the Noongar people, who are the traditional custodians of the land. And we'd also like to pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. Thank you. Record of apologies and leave of absence.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, everybody. We just have one apology and the leave of absence will be recorded for Councillor Amanda Cruz for tonight's meeting. Thank you.
Disclosures of interest.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We do have a number of disclosures. They are reported for tonight's meeting. They can be viewed on the screen in front of you. The first one is in relation to report CCS 653. It's being declared by the Manager of Recreational Services, Mr. Mitch Green, and the nature of the interest is disclosed there for you to read. The other one is in relation to report number DIS 407, and that is being declared by Councillor Robert Sutton. It's an impartiality interest, and Councillor Sutton will remain in the chamber for the item and will vote on the item. The other one, Mr. Mayor, is a disclosure of interest that hasn't been recorded on the screen that relates to report number PR015, which is the Chief Executive Officer Performance Review. That is an interest, a financial interest being declared by myself as CEO. The nature of the interest is that I am directly impacted by the council item. Mr. Mayor, councillors, staff, is there anybody in the chamber that would like to make an additional disclosure? Being no further disclosures, thank you, Mr. Mayor and councillors.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. We'll move on to reports of members. Councillor McLaren.
Thank you, Mayor. I had a very busy month and I won't get this all in, so I may speak a bit quickly. I wanted to begin by thanking everybody for turning out to last night's special electors meeting, for attending, listening, and participating. I really also appreciate everyone who has emailed us. We've had quite a bit of the community participating in this. And because we're not going to consider that until September, I wanted to highlight that on the 6th of September is Bravehearts Day. Bravehearts Day is the Australian day where we recognize and raise awareness about child sexual abuse. And it is an opportunity for us all to continue to work towards ending this abuse. So on the 6th of September, that is an opportunity for us to again educate people about this. The Great Southern Community Hub, as you know, is, if you haven't been, you know, under a rock, is fearing closure. On the 30th of September, if they don't get the funding they need, they will close. I attended the Albany Port Rotary Club, and that club had a presentation from Ian Neal, and Ian shared with us the tremendous success that their program is having at Pivot Support Services. So please go to Pivot Support Services website and see if you can somehow contribute. I'm gonna be asking the city if we can send a letter of support for their great fundraising efforts. The launch of the Voices of the South. How many people got to that? That was amazing. That was at the town hall. We have 55 local authors in this. And if I hadn't been so busy, I didn't have a long report. I was gonna read from you, read a little passage from this, but please, maybe later we could do it. It is a great contribution to the work in the bookstore and in the library. I met with a local support group for adoptees before their report was tabled in Parliament. So I had a chance to look at the submission that Jen McRae and her group made. We really should extend kudos to Jen McRae for doing that great work and getting that report tabled in State Parliament. They have asked for 39 recommendations the committee put to the government, and the government now has an opportunity to respond. And one of the things is a redress scheme that will support adoptees. So that's something that we Albany people can be very proud of. Look, as usual, I attended lots of volunteer events. I did the beach cleanup at Middleton with the Sea Shepherd group. I also was out at the Wilson Inlet doing some plantings for community plantings for the Wilson Inlet catchment. I attended the Wellstead Progress Association, and an hour in the car out to Wellstead. I missed the kangaroo. Thanks for the heads up. And I met some wonderful people who do a lot of good volunteer work out at Wellstead. And I'm going to be mentioning to our planners about some road works that they want done. But they are the eastern edge of Albany, and they would like a statement to say, you're entering Albany now. And so they're going to be working with us to try to set an entry statement out there. On the 13th of August, and Councillor Trail was there, Museum of Great Southern hosted ecologist Dr. Sarah Corner, and she reported on the tremendous work that's being done to reduce the feral cat population and help the Gilbert's potoroo and the western ground parrot to recover, because they are a species that is endangered. I know there's a lot more that I want to mention, so I'm just going to briefly say the leadership forum that ACCCI put on, that was attended by some of our team in the city, was very worthwhile. And one of the key presenters was Catherine Bell from RSM.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor Terry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just like to echo comments from Councillor McLaren in relation to the electors meeting last night. I think it was a well worthwhile exercise, and good to listen to the different points of view. And obviously we'll talk about it more next month. Things that I went to during the week, during the month, more of the highlights, the opening of the Village Daycare Centre down on Stirling Terrace in the old Target Hardware, a spot next door to Rivers. They had their official opening and also opened the doors to children last week. So they've now got, I think, about 90 odd kids attending that daycare. And also note in the building, in the planning and building reports, that there's another daycare centre proposed on Pioneer Road, which will go towards alleviating the daycare desert here. Early in the month, I represented the mayor at the opening of the motorsport park, the venue out at on Down Road. Special thanks made on that day to Councillor Sutton for his advocacy and perseverance in getting funding for it, for one, and persevering with it. And also Theo Newhouse and the Albany Motorcycle Club. Earlier in the month, along with the mayor, we had a regional development assessment panel meeting where Advanced Housing had a development application for a 19 townhouse development on the corner of Spencer and Frederick Street. That was passed unanimously. That'll go a long way to alleviating some of the housing concerns that we have in Albany, and provide that density in the CBD, which is, I think, we're all crying out for. Also note in the planning and building reports, there's two six-unit developments on Radiator Drive in McHale, which are going to be built in the coming months. On Saturday, the Albany Community Foundation had their big sleep out, which was well attended by a number of people, and a really good discussion around homelessness and the plight that exists. We had Kate Fiderini from the library there, a gentleman from Anglicare in Katanning, I can't remember his name, from the Albany Youth Support Association, wasn't Ian, a younger guy, Brad, I think his name was, and Ian Neal from Pivot, who obviously spoke about the community hub. $50,000 was raised, and that will go towards homeless, trying to address people that are in homeless and in difficulty here in Albany. But one thing I just really wanted to make a point of tonight, and that is support of our library staff. They have come under a lot of pressure intimidation and harassment over the last few months by a few people within the community. And even there was something that happened there yesterday. And I just want to speak out in support of our library staff, because they've been doing it tough over the last few months. And, you know, to hear them being accused, and others within the community, even us, being accused of sexualising children and grooming of children, is just really abhorrent and offensive. And I just wanted to speak out in support of our library staff. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor McKinley.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Yeah, the highlights of my month were the opening of the Albany Motorsport. We've got a world-class facility at our doorstep there now. So all those involved did an awesome job getting that together over the last few years. And well done, Councillor Sutton, for driving that process. And another one I attended during the month, which was the highlight, was the Korean War Memorial Service. Well attended, and the Albany RSL do a great job honouring its veterans. That's one thing I understand in Albany. They do an awesome job. And, yeah, thank you very much. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Councillor Buff.
Thanks, Mayor. Four things to share. I was delighted to hear the success of the Railways Footy and Sporting Club raffle for the naming rights to their stadium. I look forward to seeing the Keep the Sheep Stadium up in lights. Secondly, thanks to all the citizens who emailed council regarding the special electors meeting. Read all your emails, really appreciated all the input. Thirdly, look, wasn't going to bring it up, but since Councillor McLaren brought it up, yeah, Pivot's community hub is going to close if it's unfunded. When we discharge people from the emergency department who are homeless, Pivot are reliably there to give them a hand up, and this is a uniquely important issue to our community. The government declined to fund it at the big sleep out. I was pleased to hear that the opposition have said they'll step in and fund it if they win government. Lastly, I just want to highlight an urgent environmental issue. It's called the shot hole borer. You might have seen some media attention recently about this. It's a beetle which is threatening our urban and native forest trees. 3 points. This beetle infests trees and then reproduces and kills them. Early detection is important. In a month, it can reproduce 60 copies of itself. You can imagine if you leave an infested tree sitting there for a while, the population of this bug will explode. And if unchecked, it'll severely impact our local ecosystem and a number of industries. This beetle goes absolutely bananas in avocado trees, and about a month or two ago, they've discovered that it can undergo its full reproductive life cycle in the blue gum tree. So it has a big impact to our plantation industry as well. I think as a council, we've got to get across this issue. The most recent sighting was in Harvey. That's not far away.
That was cool.
Thanks very much.
Point of order.
I think there's actually a correction to that. I think that's actually the European house borer they've identified in Harvey, but thank you. Councillor Grimmer.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Another busy month, and I thought I'd just highlight a couple of highlights for me. Last week, I was part of a bush poetry evening at the library. It was so well organised. We had 50 or 60 people there. I was talking to an 87-year-old bush poet, an old farmer, and his poetry was hilarious. I absolutely echo Deputy Mayor Terry's comments about the library staff. In fact, I've made an offer to go back and do some volunteer work there. I'm a great supporter of the library, and I think they do fantastic work. So I mirror those thoughts. The other thing I did last week was I attended the opening of an overnight respite centre at Hawthorne House called Don's Place. They've opened a four-bedroom overnight respite for people who are caring for people with dementia. I've actually, as our family's had personal experience with the support of Hawthorne House. They have moved from where they were in Seymour Street out to quite near the Woolworths Centre. They've got a lovely setting out there, and this house really will make a difference. And what I would say is the people both at the library and also at Hawthorne House, they are absolutely outstanding people who genuinely care about others, and I would like to offer them my full support. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Baju.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, we certainly has been a very intense month, and I won't, with a number of meetings and workshops and events, a lot of which we've already heard about. One in particular I just wanted to reiterate was the, I had the privilege of attending the opening of the Motorplex complex on the 27th of July, and it was a great event. And a wonderful facility, and as Councillor McKinley has indicated, it's a world-class facility. So congratulations to all those that are involved. Even though it's personally not my scene, I really appreciate the benefits that that facility offers, and it reflects, again, the diversity of recreational and sporting facilities and the opportunities that we have in the Great Southern. So there's a lot of responsibility that we have, but there's also a lot of great ways to recreate. So, yeah, it's a wonderful facility.
Thank you. Councillor Trail.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. A couple of things that other councillors haven't mentioned that I went to on behalf of council. The first one on the 31st of July was a tourism workshop that is really important to our community. It was the Trail Tourism Experience Development Workshop, which has nothing to do with me, my name. But it was covering a lot of aspects about our region and the amazing things that are happening, and especially in outdoor tourism. And one area that that I didn't know much about, and I'm not sure how much others know, is the wellness tourism strategy. Now, a few years ago, wellness wasn't even a word, but now it's everywhere. And the wellness tourism strategy actually covers our area because we're really well situated for such tourists, the wellness travellers. They're looking for things like things to do out of season, which is good for us, away from school holidays. They're looking for long stays. They're often well-funded. They're looking for sustainable tourism experiences, and they're looking a lot for Indigenous culture. So, look, we're ideally placed to fit into the wellness tourism market, I think, and that's really a focus from the from Tourism WA, who organised an excellent day at Torbay to cover that, and many other things as well. Some of the city officers were there as well. And I will mention the Wanda magazine, Wanda in the Wild, which features the Great Southern. We've got a separate magazine now to I suppose, differentiate ourselves from Australia's southwest, from Margaret River, which is a really good thing. This is a wonderful and very classy publication. So that was a wonderful, a good experience for me to go to. And then I represented you, and also, of course, in my position as the chair of the 2026 advisory group at the Wagglekep Southern Noongar, the Albany 2026 Cultural Subcommittee. And that was on 19th of August. And look, that was an eye-opener for me. First one of these that I'd been to with Nathan. And I think we both agreed that it was a wonderful, wonderful day, a wonderful afternoon, and everybody came away very positive from that. Wagglekep have got a very good and balanced committee that they're supporting us with for our 2026 activities. They contributed lots of ideas to community events, which was really great. And we also heard from two of the flagship organisers, from more than two of our events, from FORM, and also from Fremantle Biennale, who are going to put on several spectacular events in 2026. And the enthusiasm, the support, the joy that these events brought to that group was really eye-opening for me. And it's really a positive feature. We've been over a few hurdles with them, but now I think everything's moving pretty smoothly. So I can report back very positively to you on that. And just finally, just a word of thanks to you, especially Mayor, for your chairing of last night's meeting. I thought it was exemplary. And not only you, but all the staff. So many staff who actually helped set up the meeting to cope with the large crowd that we had, the preparation, the running of the meeting, the cleanup afterwards. Look, it was so, so good. And I really thank you and all the staff for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sutton. Now be on your best behaviour. Your daughter's in the crowd. She's never been to a council meeting and you've been here 16 years.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mayor. Look, I'd like to welcome Courtney. She's the demographic we want to get back in the town, 25 to 40. We seem to miss out on that. She just scrapes in there and with a fiancé. So the ever-bright courts. Welcome, Court. This is where I go to. This is my cave for the last probably close to 16 years. My address is going to be like the doctor's footy season, short, sharp and uneventful. We had a great opening of the motorplex, which has been a long, long time, and Paul, all your crew, couldn't possibly be done without that, so thank you. One day I'll put pen to paper and all the involved, and I did touch on that at the meeting, where if all these, you know, revolving doors, if we didn't go down the right one, there wouldn't be any such thing. Now, there are discussions behind the scenes going on to hopefully fund the black track part of it, which we think was the most important part, but the motocross didn't have a home, so we had to open up. That was the number one, and that chewed up a lot of money. But there are things afoot, and hopefully we can actually have a track in the not-too-distant future that will be a kilometre longer than Barbagello and about 2 metres or 3 metres wider. So that will be a national standard made for international motorbikes, so open motorbikes, which can get up to 300 k's an hour. The other thing I attended to was the great Southern football industry dinner. The mayor couldn't get there and attended that. They spoke. Now the commissioners meet once in the country, and the commissioners are the group that run the Dockers. We had the whole committee there. I think it was Jeffrey Martin, I think it is. Well, he's not a QC, he's a KC now. They spoke about the women's footy and all the fixturing and everything else. The one thing that stood out, and they actually, a few of them approached me, including the CEO, was generally they go to a country area, the local governments don't get much of a rap. But I said that Albany City Council got a rap every time. Everyone's absolutely happy with how we're supporting sport. So that goes to say it all. So thank you and enjoy your meeting, Court.
Thank you. Councillor Leonetti?
No, mate, everything's covered, I reckon.
Okay. I don't normally do a report, but I'm going to give this to the CEO. The CEO and I went to the Wilder Awards meeting for the awards night at Winthrop Hall at UWA, and we won the most active roadwise council for 23-24. And that included things like North Road, Sanford Road, Black Spot Projects, Target Road, Gore Street, Sydney Street, Heritage Park Precinct, Shared Paths, and the like. So for those of you that are whinging about our roads, we're doing better than most. I'd just like to thank Paul Cammons and his team. They have done an exceptional job, particularly this summer. We did a lot of the roadworks in the city. There was some inconvenience, but now I think we're seeing the results of Sanford Road and the benefits that will build over time. So thanks to your team. Nice to win the award. Okay, we've got public question time. So this works as normally goes for 30 minutes. We do have a large list of people who wish to speak, some 15 people. That equates to you have a maximum of 4 minutes that you can speak, but that will equate to nearly an hour. Be prepared to extend time by 15 minutes. So, but if you can be a little succinct in your deputation, if you like, I'd appreciate that. How this works is that you can come to the microphone here. If you could identify yourself, no one here is talking to an item on the agenda. I need your name and the suburb in which you live. And then you will have 4 minutes. There's a traffic light system here. For the 4 minutes, the green light goes for 3 minutes and 30 seconds. The amber light comes on at 3 minutes 30. At 4 minutes, the red light comes on. And if you're not finished, you are finished. So, okay. So the first speaker is Susan Ashton.
Thank you. Yes, good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Councillors. I'm Suzanne Ashton from Mount Clarence. I have two questions. Question one, are the mayor and councillors aware that Albany Pride issued a statement in connection with Albany Pride Week, which stated, I quote, "Albany Pride is proudly and unapologetically inclusive of the entire spectrum of the queer community," end of quote. And this statement continues to be on their website. Can I proceed to question two?
Well, question one, thank you. Yes, noted.
Question two, can the mayor confirm that he, along with councillors, received a letter via email on or about the 12th of March 2024 from the Australian Christian Lobby State Director Peter Abetz, which provided links to articles in the media and research journals demonstrating that some of the leading LGBTIQ plus activists, both in Australia and overseas, have a history of advocating that paedophilia should be regarded as a legitimate and normal sexual orientation. Thank you.
I received that letter.
Thank you. That's my questions.
Jurian Dichter.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, councillors. I have two questions as well. My name is Jurian Dichter of Little Grove. Can the mayor confirm that the email that he received from Peter Abetz, along with the Albany City councillors, on or about the 12th of March, contained this paragraph, which is a quote from a university-issued statement by La Trobe University, released on the retirement of Professor Gary Dowsett, and I quote, "Professor Dowsett has been an active member of the LGBTQI community since the early days of gay and lesbian liberation movement in the 1970s. In 2018, Professor Dowsett was awarded a life membership of Sydney's Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, recognizing his contribution to the LGBTIQ community. His work is recognized internationally and nationally as central in the historical response to HIV in the 80s and discussion of post-AIDS in the 90s, end quote.
I confirm that I received that email.
Would the mayor and the councillors agree that in light of the glowing statement issued by La Trobe University, referenced to in the previous question, Professor Dowsett is a respected senior member in the queer advocacy movement?
That's not an area of my expertise, and it's with the limited information that is impossible to answer.
Thank you, Mayor.
Ian Tahart.
Good evening, Mayor and fellow councillors. My name's Ian Tahart from Yakamoya, and I have two questions as well. They are as follows. Given Albany Pride's statement about it being inclusive of the entire spectrum of the queer community, would the mayor agree that a reasonable person would interpret this statement to imply that persons who hold views similar to those of Professor Gary Dowsett would be accepted as part of the Albany Pride community?
I can't speak on behalf of the Albany Pride community.
Yep, that's okay. And I have a further question. Can the mayor confirm that the email letter that was received by him and the councillors from Peter Abetz of the Australian Christian Lobby, as mentioned earlier, contained the following quote from an article written by the highly regarded long-time LGBTQIA plus activist, Professor Gary Dowsett, who was the Deputy Director of the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University for 22 years until his retirement in June 2019. And I quote from Professor Dowsett. He writes, "First, we have three legal social questions to win: custody rights for gay men and lesbians, the legal right of paedophiles and their young lovers, and finally, the sexual rights of children as a whole." And I further quote Professor Dowsett, "How different then is that gentle tentative sexuality between parent and child from the love of paedophile and his or her lover? From all their accounts and from many academic studies, some worse than others," he writes, "that that kind of love, warmth, support and nurture is an important part of the paedophilic relationship. I'm not saying that mothering and fathering is paedophilic, but I am saying that they are not mutually exclusive." And the final quote from Professor Dowsett. "The current paedophilia debate is then crucial to the political processes of the gay movement." And he says, "Paedophiles need our support, and we need to construct the child adult sex issue on our terms." These quotes appeared in the periodical Gay Information issue number 11, page 34 to 38, 1982. Was entitled "Boiled Lollies and Band-Aids, Gay Men and Kids." Can you confirm that the letter contained this quote, please?
I have confirmed that I've received that letter. I read it 3 months ago. I was given a copy today. That content was in that letter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Amy Elwood.
Good evening, Mayor and Councillors. I'm Amy Ulrich and I live in Marbalup. I have three questions tonight. Would the Mayor agree that the quotes in the emailed letter from Peter Abetz, combined with the glowing endorsement of Professor Gary Dowsett, given by La Trobe University on his retirement, referred to in an earlier question, is clear evidence that there are people within the queer community who consider paedophilia to be just another sexual orientation?
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Councillor.
Point of order. All these questions, in my thought, are trying to cast adverse reflection on a group within the community, and I just don't think that they're fair. Thank you.
What's the point of order?
They're casting adverse reflection on groups within the community, specifically Albany Pride people and those members in the LGBTIQ community.
They're actually referencing a letter from Peter Abetz, so I'm going to allow it to continue and I'll answer the question. Yeah. That's a question that I'm not qualified to answer, and anyone can draw their own conclusions based on what you've presented there, so you'll get different answers from different people.
Thank you. My other two questions: is the Mayor aware that the term minor attracted persons is a euphemism for persons who experience sexual attraction to children, which in common usage is referred to as paedophilia?
I am aware of that.
Given that the council has ordered Councillor Brough to undertake gender sensitivity training, can the Mayor please advise what alternative wording he would have found acceptable for Councillor Brough to use to draw attention to the fact that within the queer community, there are persons who are sexually attracted to minors?
That's a question you would have had the opportunity many times to ask Councillor Brough. I can't speak for Councillor Brough. Thank you. Ms. Griff. Annette.
Good evening, Mayor and Councillors. My name is Lynn Scoof and I live in McHale. I have two questions. Did the panel that investigated the allegation that Councillor Brough had breached the code of conduct make a finding as to the factual accuracy or otherwise of Councillor Brough's statement to Council on February 27, 2024?
I'll refer to the CEO for this, but there is a process in place that we have followed on behavioural complaints that were lodged. Do you want to answer?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to provide some background information. So the process is really governed by the local government model code of conduct regulations, and any complaints that come in around behavioural under what they refer to as Division 3 need to be referred to the council, and we followed that process. So I think in terms of your question, there wasn't, the panel was actually the full council that made, that received a report and considered that matter.
Carry on.
Given that the mayor is not at liberty to divulge the report of the panel investigation into whether Councillor Brough breached the code of conduct or not, how can the other councillors and the City of Albany public have any confidence in the appropriateness or not of the sanction that has been imposed on Councillor Brough?
Well, I'll confirm that there is a process in place that's legislated that we have followed, and other councillors, all councillors, including Councillor Brough, were involved in the meeting with an independent assessed report separate to the findings that were part of, that formed part of that meeting.
Thank you.
I have full confidence in that process. Ms. Griff?
Evening, Mayor and fellow councillors. I've got two questions for you tonight. Given that the documentation provided by Peter Abetz in his email to the councillors demonstrated that Councillor Brough's statement was factually correct, what is the Mayor's response to me and fellow ratepayers who consider the sanction against Councillor Brough as a form of bullying and intended to send a clear message to Councillor Brough and any other councillor that they should refrain from bringing matters of fact to the attention of council if it might upset a favoured lobby group within the city?
There's a lot of weight being provided to one person's opinion here, Peter Abetz. That's up to you to and the group and the public who wish to put their faith in that. I'm putting my faith in the process that we've undertaken and absolutely reject any notion that we're bullying.
Thank you. I have another question. Given that the Mayor and councillors were provided with documentary evidence that Councillor Brough's statement to council on February 27, 24 was factually correct, did the Mayor or any of the councillors A, provide this information to the panel that considered the complaints against Councillor Brough, or make any effort to have the Albany Advertiser and the ABC to remove from their websites a false claim that what Councillor Brough said was factually incorrect?
I presume you're talking about the documentary evidence provided in an email by Peter Abetz.
Yes.
That's a matter of opinion for you or me to make up my mind. We followed our process, so I'm full confidence in our due process.
Thank you.
Michael Walmsley.
Good evening, Mayor and councillors. My name is Michael Walmsley. I'm from Mount Clarence. Sort of feels like the last question is a bit moot. Given the information the council now has, will the mayor move a motion to rescind the sanction on Councillor Brough?
No.
I just want to add to that. I guess in March, at the tail end, I guess, of the Albany Pride event, I sent a sent an email to all the councillors, and I just thank the mayor for responding, that you acknowledged that you received that email, and Councillor Linetti and Councillor Brough. I guess just thinking about yesterday, what it seems to have gone on is a hornet's nest has been stirred up. The email I sent to you highlighted the fact that as elected members to the council, you represent different sections of the community, and that's okay. But it feels like there is a biased representation. You can disagree or not. I think last night's meeting is sort of evidence that there's this sort of boiling set of emotions, because there's a real conflict of beliefs that are being pushed, and a feeling that somehow, especially the Christian community, I'm a Christian, are being marginalized, and our belief system is being attacked. So I guess in some respects, you know, you've had a series of questions that have felt very repetitive. They're uncomfortable questions, because I guess the questions that Councillor Brough raised in the meeting, and that have caused such a storm, they're hard issues. And I think last night, as the strong feeling, I thought no one will advocate paedophilia. No one's going to hear. You know, it's good to hear that people have a strong desire to protect our children. And I guess that's what you're feeling, is this sort of feeling that, hang on, are we actually safe? Are we allowed to actually express an opinion and ask a question without being vilified, targeted? It seems pretty typical that what happened to Councillor Brough has happened to a lot of people, that as soon as you ask a question and just say, hey, I don't actually agree with this, this really goes against my worldview and my belief system, that the machine gets into action. The Albany Advertiser, the media, ABC just go to town, and all we hear is one side. Even, you know, my son looking on social media, prior to the event last night, what he was seeing was that, oh yes, a bunch of extremists are coming to the city of Albany opposing this. So we get labeled, but we're just ordinary citizens asking questions. And I think this is not so much a question, but it's just laying before you that if one lobby group, if one section of this society in Albany is being promoted, the Albany Pride event back in February was partially funded, if I'm not correct, by the City of Albany. The Albany Library was used, the flags were all down the street. And we continually hear that people are offended by stuff, but it's hard to watch this happening. I think finally, people are saying, I've had enough. I want to stand up and say, you know, I have no objections to people living the lifestyle they want to live. But we all share this community. And I guess that's what we want from the council, the feeling that we share this community.
I'll make a quick personal response to that, Michael. And that is, if you're feeling that, the group that have an opposing view to you on some of the things we talked about last night feel exactly the same way. So it's not mutually exclusive to your group. And it is a very difficult judicial type role that we're playing here, where not everybody gets what they want. We're trying to live in a democratic society where we're all trying to get along. So if you're feeling like you're under pressure and not being listened to, and those opposed are feeling exactly the same, I can guarantee you, because we get the same emails. Thank you. Any others?
Tony Evers, Cuthbert, good evening. I haven't come with any questions, and I do want to make a comment on
what a remarkable sort of generalising of the specific just went on to then bring it back to the specific. And it happens accidentally that I'm in that space. I wanted to speak on last night's special electors meeting about responsibility and about entitlement. I sincerely thank council officers and staff for the efforts to facilitate attendance and participation last night. It looked above and beyond the call of ordinary duty. I thank the mayor for the calmness and gravity in conducting the meeting. That would not have been an easy gig. I was impressed by the quality of statements at the public question time. Many, although not quite all, were measured, considered, and evidence-based. Such meetings are public participation, even citizens' assembly, but there are flaws. Only one side has detailed knowledge in advance of motions to be put, arising from trigger issues for the meeting, making it difficult for others to respond in a meaningful manner when put on the spot. Accusations and assertions can be made without opportunity for considered response, clarification, or rebuttal. The concerted publicised attempt by one group to stack last night's meeting was only partially successful. Voting results were around 230 to 170, with one exception, a reasoned and evidence-based motion providing equity across our community. Concerns that gave rise to motions regarding the suitability and classification of items in the Albany Public Library collection, in fact, have no relevance there or here. Such concerns should be referred to the Australian Classification Board by those concerned. It is not the council's role. I've done my checking. This is what the web page looks like for the Classification Board. Really easy to use. Really, really clear. It's not the council's job role to do that. It is people who are concerned. They have an avenue to promote their cause. So those two motions really aren't relevant. Let's pass on to responsibility. We heard much last night about rights of parents of groups of beliefs, but I was struck that we heard very little on responsibility. The Albany Public Library is a public place. It's in the name. Using the library is an opt-in activity. Folk choose to go there, choose to take their children, choose their level of involvement, of guidance, of supervision of their children, just as in other public spaces. Casting the responsibility onto library staff is moving along a spectrum that might begin to look like irresponsible parenting. Now to entitlement. As an old white male, I feel entitled to speak on entitlement. Entitlement comes to us in all kinds of ways, age, gender, you know, all sorts of things, reputation, positions. Sometimes individuals and groups assume entitlement. And while I support folk to hold to values, provided no harm is being done, that does not mean everybody must conform or even agree. The Keeping Children Safe group appears to assume some entitlement, to tell us all how we must behave, how we must go by their rules, no matter what. There was a brief reference last night that council should provide support funding for a church or Christian festival. I think folk have lost sight of the special and privileged position Christianity holds in our society. It is part of our society, part of our culture. They may be forgetting about all the special days and festivals, Christmas, Easter, and others, including every Sunday or Saturday, depending on your choice. There are also the financial exemptions and benefits accorded to organised religious operations without proper meaningful accounting of business activities separate from pastoral activities. That looks to be a valuable entitlement. Christianity is accorded the Tony. Assumptions.
Tony, thank you.
Oh, damn it. More to say. I'll be back.
Sonia Emery. Sonia Emery. Okay. We've still got five or six speakers, so I'm going to extend for 20 minutes, give everyone the opportunity. With the permission of council, can I have a show of hands on consensus, please, to go? No objections? Okay, very good. We'll carry on. Greg Spanderman.
Mr. Mayor, councillors, my name is Greg Spanderman. I live in Robinson. I would like to make some comments in relation to Councillor Brough being urged or forced to do an re-education course. The matter of free speech is under attack in our country as it is in the wider Western society. Those of us who see homosexuality as against biblical norms are being silenced. They say we are intolerant, that we are bigots, that we're homophobes. That's what we're called. Consider this. 4 years ago, I offered to volunteer my time as a radio operator at Sea Rescue. I needed to complete, at my own expense, the designated radio course. So I was committed. After completing the course, I noticed the pride flag on the DFES Facebook page, and I objected and even suggested that I was having trouble being part of this organisation, an organisation that was promoting the pride movement. Consequently, the manager of Marine Services WA rejected my application. His words were that I was an unsafe person for others to work with. So a paid bureaucrat rejected the services of a volunteer because it did not align with his views. That year, take note, that year the Sea Rescue Group was short of radio operators and closed in the winter. So it was safer for there to be no radio operators than for me as an unsafe person to work on that radio. So because I expressed views that are biblical, I was rejected and my voice was silenced. Councillors, I'm a married man of 36 years, of 6 kids, none who have been in trouble with the police. I've been an elder in the church for many years, a past member of the State Emergency Service, in the Fire Brigade for some years. I was on the school board, and now I was told I was an unsafe person to work with. So now I come to Councillor Brough, a man of integrity, a doctor, an army officer, I believe a firefighter, and like me, you are attempting to silence him and even going further by supporting his re-education. This is nothing other than what communist governments have done in the past and are doing now. At the end of the Vietnam War, South Vietnamese people were put in re-education camps. Are you listening to me? China now has people in re-education camps because they can't align with the views of the communists. And you want Councillor Brough to do the same? You should be ashamed of yourself. Councillor Brough, I urge you to stand firm and strong and oppose this. Councillors, are you serious? Look at yourselves. Examine your hearts. Is this the Australia that we know that was fought for? Did our young men die for nothing? They fought against the tyranny that would have silenced anyone who opposed their point of view. Those tyrannical regimes, Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan, killed and maimed those who did not comply and who did not bow to their tyrannical ideology. Councillors, our men and women fought and bled and died so that you, Mr. Sutton, Mr. Stocks, Ms. Fajou, Mr. Terry, Mr. Trail, Mr. Leonetti, Ms. McLaren, Mr. McKinley, Mr. Grimmer, Ms. Cruz, today, so that you can live in freedom of thought and speech and movement. Councillors, stand for the truth.
Thank you. Ryan Evers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and councillors. My name is Diane Evers. Cuthbert is my suburb. And in the interest of transparency, I'd like to say that I am going to be running in the next state election. I think it would be very important if anybody who comes up here or amongst your councillors who's going to be a candidate should find that that is a reasonable thing to do, to announce it in terms of transparency whenever there's a public here. Now, I've heard a lot of things tonight and it really upsets me. I do want to speak out for the Pride community. I do recognize they're hurt when they are abused, when they are insulted, when they are excluded, when they are disrespected. And I appreciate what this council went through to get to the point where they have asked Councillor Brough to go undergo training in terms of being respectful and inclusive. Now, all those examples we've heard just recently were not about being respectful and inclusive. And that's all we're asking. So that Councillor Brough can realize when he's saying, well, pedophiles are in the LGBTQI community, they're also in the churches, they're also in our school groups, they're also in families. They exist in our community. So when we're targeting a group, yeah, sure, we heard from the audience here that they were targeting pedophiles, but they were saying pedophiles within this one special group that they don't like and don't mind disrespecting and don't mind excluding from their communities, from their families, their associations, when they know that that's the case. But I feel that this council has got to stick to its guns here. I feel that when we see that disrespect, all you're going to do is go back to the code of conduct. I mean, it is in the code of conduct that says a council member, sorry, I'm getting a little bit intense here. A council member should treat others with respect, courtesy, and fairness, and respect and value diversity in the community. Now, as a doctor, I would expect that Councillor Brough would understand that there is quite a lot of diversity in our community. And I would imagine through his training that he was trained to be able to treat each person respectfully for the fact that they were a human being needing his care. If we're hearing that, that's fine, as long as your sexuality conforms with mine, I'll treat you. That's not what we're looking at. So,
point of order, ma'am. So,
All I'm saying is that we need to respect everyone in this community.
Stop for now.
I just want sort of clarification. Is Ms. Evers suggesting that I treat people differently in my professional work on the basis of their sexuality?
Excuse me, through the chair, please. I think not.
Mayor,
can you clarify
Mayor,
that, please?
Mayor, it is not point of order. I sat here in silence and listened to a lot of abuse tonight. It is not my right as a councillor to question the public stater. And now you've allowed that from another person where there was one tiny thing mentioned. And so I'm going to question whether that is appropriate for councillors to interrogate public people during question time. Because if it is, I'd like to take the clock back about 30 minutes.
You are allowed to check on a point of clarification. Absolutely. Standing orders allow that. I'll confirm that with the CEO.
Sorry about the microphone. Yes, the standing orders do allow a point of clarification, point of order, and that can be called at any time by any councillor. So that option exists for all elected members.
So if you'd like to clarify that.
I was not intending to say that he would treat people a bit differently, but I have acknowledged that he has spoken against a particular group for an issue that is throughout our community. And that was disrespectful. And it shows that there is a lack of compassion for people who have that diversity.
Just going to go to the CEO here.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is public question time. I think we do need to respect that, and that goes for everyone in the room. So I would ask that if you are addressing the council, can you please move on and address the council? Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. I would just like to bring the councillor's attention back to the code of conduct. Another item in there is a council member or committee member should base decisions on relevant and factually correct information. Now, again, the information that was presented here isn't to back up the statement that he made, because the statement, whether that's true, as I said, pedophiles are in all of our groups. We can't just pick one out. We don't know what they look like. So to say that they're in the LGBTQI community is the same as if any counselor here stood up and said, there are counselors in the Catholic Church, there are counselors in any Christian church, there's counselors, there are pedophiles in these churches, in our sporting groups. Now, would you allow that? Question.
The clock's not actually reflecting the time that you've had, so I'll ask you to conclude now because you have had over 4 minutes.
I want to say that the apology that was given after that is no long, is not showing any sign of respect or apology. The words were, I acknowledge the way in which I approach this issue has caused distress for some people. That is not an apology. It's an acknowledgement. An apology should start with, I'm sorry, or I apologize. And I hope that is...
Okay, wind it up now, thanks.
I hope that is brought forward when he undergoes this training. Thank you.
Michael Pemberton. No, Michael Pemberton.
Mr. Mayor and councillors, my name is Michael Pemberton from Shorts Place in Miramar, and I want to address the topic of deregulated trading, in particular some of the undertakings that were given in and around the night of the vote, and also the following day on ABC radio by the Mayor and the CEO of the City of Albany. Firstly, however, I want to thank the four councillors who on that night publicly expressed their concern for small business, who are going to be heavily impacted by the deregulation of trading hours. I guess that takes a lot of courage to do that. Their responses come from a lived experience, which would have told them that two things would eventually happen as a result of deregulation. Firstly, the loss of small business, less investment in our community at the end of the day. And secondly, larger market share for big business. And I guess the thing that I really appreciated was that each of those councillors that spoke are small business owners, and they have had that experience. So next morning on the ABC reporter who was in the chamber the previous night said to Paul Cook, everybody's happy. Well, he must have been in a different meeting than I was. He mustn't have listened to the two small businesses whose owners, namely Mark from the Bottle-O in North Road for 10 years and Elizabeth from the Hub on York, a business that has been in York Street in Albany for over 70 years. They were so happy, to quote the ABC reporter, they were so happy that they both resigned from the Chamber of Commerce, because they have, my understanding is, no support from that area. The mayor was asked what happens now. The response was, I hope that local people will drive in rather than drive past when it comes to making purchases. Since February this year to this ordinary council meeting, which is 7 months, Coles have been paid $37,000 by the City of Albany. Woolworths have been paid $31,500. IGA and Albany have been paid $1,000. IGA Spencer Park, $85. And IGA North Road, $6,647. One needs to ask, will the people who make purchases on behalf of the city be given the same instructions to drive into local businesses instead of driving past? The next day, the CEO of the Chamber was on ABC. She said that they were going to consult with the Regional Chambers of Commerce of Western Australia and the CCIWA, which is the state body based in Perth. The Regional Chambers were founded in 2000 to ensure that the needs of the region were going to be dealt with by regional folk, because they understand what's going on in the region. The inaugural president of the Regional Chambers of Commerce of Western Australia, Rolf Steen, was interviewed by Southwest Times last year and said, the reason I started the Regional Chambers of Commerce 23 years ago was because the CCI were making decisions in regional Western Australia without coming asking us. Only the people here on the ground are going to know what will be best. So in conclusion, Mr. Mayor, will the procurers of the city be driven by buy local and drive in or phone in or buy online from local businesses?
The answer to that is that we're highly cognizant of our responsibility there, and our purchasing practices aside from the supermarkets reflect that. We have discussed that, and it's been raised by a councillor, and there's been an explanation about how that might change, and there has been a discussion at council chamber about how that might change.
Mr. Byrne, thank you.
Jill Kinsella. You don't look very much like Michelle, but you can go first, Michael.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Michael Bird. I live in Miramar. Something different just for tonight, given what's been going on. I'm here to ask you to rethink your plans for the Yakima Forest, to choose life over its destruction. But firstly, some background. Indulge me for a moment. I have a long family history in Albany. My great-grandfather, Francis Bird, purchased Strawberry Hill Farm in the 1880s. He was the state supervising architect and designed homes still standing here today. My grandfather, Lance, was a lighthouse keeper on Eclipse Island. He trained the famous said Special Force in survival skills in the war. My father, John, was the first Air Force cadet in Albany, the only survivor of seven in a plane crash while training, and later flew with Bomber Command. My other great-grandfather, Dr. Blackburn, was killed in 1920 by runaway railway trucks while returning from a call to save a patient. The binding thread of that legacy is my and my family's love for Albany, and they all stand with me today. Visitors to Albany say how beautiful it is, and this beauty is a blend of our history, wonderful old buildings, great services, and a welcoming community. Without question, though, what makes Albany unique is our stunning natural environment. The ancient old-growth Yakima Forest in the heart of Albany is an integral part of this beauty. You and your staff mostly do a fine job, but this doesn't exempt you from criticism about Yakima. The forest is an intact, complex ecosystem and a home to a critically endangered species, the western ringtail possum. It's a desperate position. Most species in Australia listed as such are now extinct. Why? Because the habitat was destroyed. If you proceed with current plans, you will almost certainly send our defenceless possums to oblivion. You might think this couldn't happen, but people in Tasmania thought the same about their tiger. By the time they stopped killing them, it was too late. I want you to imagine if by some miracle tigers were found right now in Yakima. Would you bulldoze the forest? Of course you would not. To do so would make you international pariahs, saving them national heroes. There is no moral distinction between the Tasmanian tiger and the western ringtail possum. Neither deserves extinction. Some folks don't understand it's the biosphere which sustains us, but we should take advice from those who do, as we listen to our doctors and plumbers. They're telling us we're in trouble. And if the environment doesn't touch you emotionally, I ask you to try to understand its intrinsic worth and vital importance to human survival. Over 70% of animal life in the world has been lost since 1970. Much of this has been due to human development. Surely now we must be more careful. You can do this by adhering to your stated aims to protect our environment, by developing already cleared land and improving transport systems, by lessening road dependency. Constructive suggestions have been offered about Yakima. If you destroy the forest and its inhabitants, you will have another road. However, if you have the wisdom and grace to pause, review, and chart a better course, you will bring great credit upon yourselves. You could develop Yakima as a tourism and educational draw card, and perhaps a bicentennial gift to future generations. They and we will thank you.
Michelle Kinsella.
Hello, my name's Michelle Kinsella from McHale I actually wasn't going to talk tonight, but I've decided I think I need to. On behalf of Keeping Children Safe, we would like to request an audio copy of the special meeting of electors held last night, 26th of August. Could the council please guarantee also an audio copy of the City of Albany meeting on the 27th of February, please? That's all I really wanted to say, but after listening to what's going on here tonight and a lot of what on last night at the special meeting of electors, which I do applaud the council for running a reasonably good, it was a very difficult meeting and I think a good job was done by the council. So what I'm hearing here is over and over, if my feelings are hurt, everybody has to accommodate them. Well, you know what? Sometimes in life, feelings get hurt. Sometimes in life, the Albany Advertiser and the ABC are responsible for absolute blatant misinformation, harassing people in this community, not only Thomas Broth, but myself. Do you think it was pleasant for me to sit here last night, having people bang on the window, hissing at me? I was assaulted as I walked in, all on CCTV footage. I needed five men to escort me to my car, as we were called fascists, and shame on you, because I don't think these books are appropriate for children. That's all I ever said. Did I go home and say, everybody's got to accommodate my feelings? No, I didn't. I actually went, shit, that was pretty tough. But you know what? I stood up for what I believed in. I treated everybody with respect. There are members of this community and council members that have spread misinformation.
Old Jail and Moreton Bay Fig Trees. Pardon the pun, but it is mortifying that the Moreton Bay Fig Trees are scheduled to be destroyed. They provide dense shade in summer for visitors to the museum and Old Jail and help cool our Albany environment in an ever-heating climate. I find it hard to believe that a solution to save the trees cannot be found. From a layman's point of view, I would suggest that the roots could be cut, a trench dug, and a strong barrier installed to block the roots from growing under the buildings. The City of Albany is a relatively well-financed council and can well afford to pay for a solution. I note that council spent $50,000 on the extended tracing hours survey and many millions of dollars on other projects in recent years. The Polyphagus shothole borer beetle is not a reason to destroy these trees. It is not in Albany. It was stated on the radio last week that the beetle can attack a wide variety of trees. Shall we remove all the trees in Albany to prevent the beetle from destroying them? I think not. Human ingenuity can come up with some amazing solutions. And I call on the council to find such a solution which allows both the trees and the buildings to coexist. Thank you.
That closes public question time. So you're free to stay if you wish, but I don't think you'll find, apart from Annabelle, who want to talk about the Moreton Bay Fig or listen to the discussion. You are free to leave if you so desire. Thank you for your attendance. Mr. CEO, are there any applications for leave of absence?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No applications for leave of absence. I'll just check in with all elected members. Is there anyone wishing to seek leave? No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
There are no petitions and deputations. Confirmation of the minutes. The draft motion is that the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 23rd of July 2024 is previously distributed. Be confirmed as a true and accurate record of proceedings. On the move, Deputy Mayor Terry. Councillor Sutton, Deputy Mayor Terry. Councillor Sutton. Anyone against? Take the vote. All those in favour.
Carried 10-0.
Presentations are a nil and there's no unresolved business from previous meetings. So we'll move on to reports. CCS 648 monthly financial report, June 2024. The committee recommendation is that the monthly financial report for the period ending 30th of June 2024 be received. Councillor McLaren. Councillor Trail. Councillor McLaren. Councillor Trail. Anyone against? If not, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour. Against?
Carried 8-2 against Councillor Leonetti and Councillor Brough.
CCS 649, list of accounts for payment, July 2024. The committee recommendation is that the list of accounts authorised for payment under delegated authority to the Chief Executive Officer for the period ending 15th of July 2024, totaling $10,342,663.20. Be received. Someone to move. Councillor Brough, Councillor McLaren, Councillor Brough, Councillor McLaren. Anyone against? All those in favour?
Carried 10-0.
CCS 650, Delegated Authority Report, 16th of June 2024 to the 15th of July 2024. That is that the committee recommendation is that the delegated authority reports 16th of June 24 to 15th of July 2024 be received. Someone to make that. Councillor Sutton, Councillor Trail. Councillor Sutton, Councillor Trail. Anyone against? If not, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour.
Carry 10-0.
Write off dates. A rates debt report as at 30th of June 2024. The recommendation is that the write-off rates debt report as at 30th of June 2024 be received. Someone to move. Councillor McLaren. Councillor Brough. Councillor McLaren. Councillor Brough. Anyone against? All those in favour?
Carry 10-0.
CCS 652, National Anzac Centre, Quarter 4, 2023-24 report. The committee recommendation is that the Council receive the NAC operational report for Quarter 4, 2023-24, and note that this is the final quarterly report, NAC operational report, and that future reports will be provided to Council as required. So I'm going to move that. Councillor Trail, Councillor Beaujeu, Councillor Trail.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to be bereft in future council meetings when I don't have a chance to move this motion. But to me, the Anzac Centre, as I've said many times before, is really one of the jewels in the crown. And I think you yourself stated when you went to Canberra last month and met with the Director General of the Australian War Memorial, he actually said that this was our National Anzac Centre was the second most important museum in Australia. So we'll take that on face value, and for what it's worth, it's a real, really good accolade. And I will note, actually, in the last month, the National Anzac Centre has won or is up for two awards. Number one, it was a winner of TripAdvisor Traveller's Choice in 2024, which makes it in the top 10% of things to do worldwide. And that's an amazing accolade from TripAdvisor. And look, better was to come because we're also a state finalist in the What If Uniquely Aussie Awards for the Best Regional Museum. And that, I guess, will be announced fairly soon. So there's two awards that one we've won, one we're up for. So that just is testimony to me, to the great job that they're doing. I'm really looking forward to a bumper cruise ship season coming up starting in the next couple of months, and we were told that we've got a larger number of cruise ships coming into Albany this year, so over the next summer season. So look, onward and upward for the National Anzac Centre and these reports. I've told us what we wanted to know over the last few years. They won't be needed anymore because basically they're doing a great job. Thank you, Mayor.
Well, Baiji, anyone wish to speak against? I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour?
Gary, 10-0.
CCS 653 Community Sporting and Recreation Facilities Fund 2024 Small Grant Round Applications. Recommendation one is that the Council rank the two CSRFF applications in the following order for the CSRFF Small Grant Application 2024 funding round. A, Middleton Beach Bowling and Community Club. C, Green Reconstruction, Irrigation and Sunshade, ranked one of two. And B, Railways Football and Sporting Club, Clubhouse Redevelopment Project Stage 2, ranked 2 of 2. Someone to move that, please. Councillor Grimmer, Councillor Brough, Councillor Grimmer.
Yeah, just briefly, Mayor. Again, these are a couple of great examples of us supporting a couple of very important sporting clubs and community groups around the place. Both of them are very much about developing their facilities to actually bring more of the community in, and I'm very, very supportive of that sort of thing. And I think it's great that we can support sporting clubs around and actually make them more community and family friendly. I think that's a fantastic thing. So I really am very supportive of this motion.
Councillor Brough.
Thanks very much, Mayor. Gratitude is such a wonderful virtue, and I just wanted to acknowledge Ken Richardson Newton from the Bowls Club, who rang me up after the committee meeting and just expressed gratitude that the city is supporting them, and also gratitude to the community that it's ultimately through communities' rates that this can be funded. And it was just such a refreshing, you know, sort of acknowledgement of gratitude, and I thought I'd call him out and say good on you.
Anyone wish to speak against? No, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour?
Gary, 10-0.
Recommendation two for CCS 653 is that the Council approve a total of $242,804.97 excluding GST from the 2024-25 budget as the Council's commitment towards the CSRFF small grant applications as follows. A, Middleton Beach Bowling Club and Community, $79,483.30, and Railways Football and Sporting Club, $163,321.67. And B, that this funding will remain allocated under the Community Sport and Recreation Facilities Fund small grant policy, even if the funding application is unsuccessful, providing applicants can demonstrate that projects will be completed and acquitted using funding from other sources. And C, the funding amount does not exceed the total of $242,804.97, excluding GST. And two, note that should both applicants be successful in securing funds to draw down their capital seed funding fund allocation, the capital seed fund will be oversubscribed, and a further report will be prepared for Council to consider a budget amendment or other options. Somebody to move that. Thank you, Councillor Sutton. Deputy Mayor Terry, Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, it gives me great pleasure actually to put this motion to support Middleton Beach Bowling Club and Railways Footy Club, run by volunteers, particularly the first instance, the Middleton Beach Bowling Club. Ageing demographic, very hard to get volunteers, even though we've got good membership. You know, we all know what clubs and associations are like, too much is left to too few. So congratulations to the bowling club on actually putting a report in. It's a lot to follow through and follow up on when you're down there for your leisure. So well done, and I hope you're successful and we can help you out. Now, the Raileys, fantastic. endurance and persistence. Perhaps we should get the Dockers hierarchy down here and give them some of the same. I did say at one of these meetings probably 2 or 3 years ago at the start of their journey, Mayor, that you have to have persistence and you've got to be dogged at it. You can't let it go. And I use the Motorplex as a good example. And if you don't give it a go, a full go, you don't get rewarded. So well done, Railways. Very, very innovative. And Keep the Sheep Stadium and Fatty's Bar, I love it. And that just goes to show how far they've gone. They've lifted up every stone and bricks, naming of the bricks, to get their funding. So it's our responsibility now to get behind them and do what we absolutely can, because the whole benefit, community benefit, will flow through. Urge all councillors to support both. Thank you.
I think I always made the finals, didn't I? Deputy Mayor Terry.
That's not in the documents.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm more than happy to support both of these projects. As Councillor Sutton talked about with the Midland Beach Club, the community aspect in relation to that, it's a shame they haven't been able to use Sea Green for the last, I think it was 5 years, mentioned in the report, because of the of flooding or irrigation issues on that green. So this will help deal with that. And with Railways, they have done a tremendous job to date on the stage one of the project. When the Mayor and I went to the club a couple of weeks ago to have a look, they told us, I mean, that the stage one has run over budget from what they originally thought, and had these innovative ways to raise extra money. But what really needs to be highlighted is the amount of effort by their members in getting the building up. Because if it wasn't for providing all of that extra labour at no cost, this project would have been significantly over budget. And a couple of really good things about this also is with the expansion of AFLW and the Women's League here in Albany, they highlighted to us 2 or 3 years ago when they first came to us about the lack of facilities, especially for the women, and lack of privacy. And with the tour that we had, showed us how this first stage and having separate cubicles for the showers, and with this second stage having more universal access, disability access for people of all abilities to get into the building, and all the other fit out and function spaces there. So, and the other part of this policy, of course, is the if they're not successful with CSRFF, because it is very, very competitive across the state, that if they can raise the extra money, we'll still put the money in for them. So I urge everyone to support. Thank you.
Thank you. A speaker against? No? I'll put that to the vote then. All those in favour?
Carried 10-0.
So you're welcome to go home as well. Congratulations. DIS 405, Old Jail and Moreton Bay Fig Trees. Committee recommendation is to note that two fig trees adjacent to the old jail will be removed, and two, to note that the red flowering gum trees, Corymbia ficifolia, how'd they go? Ficifolia, will be planted on the lot. Someone to move that, please. Deputy Mayor Terry, Councillor Trail. Deputy Mayor Terry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wasn't really planning on speaking to this, but I will. This report really has come to us as the recommendation is saying, just to note that this is what administration are proposing to do, because it really is an administrative matter rather than a council related matter. It was just being transparent to the community that it's on the agenda for us tonight. I hear what Annabelle said. It's sad that we need to take, or that we're proposing to take these trees down. Those trees have only been there for less than 40 years. They were planted sometime in the 1980s. The old jail has been there since the 1860s or 1852. So it's been there for 170 years. In the report, in the engineer's report, it does highlight significantly the amount of damage that has been impacted on the building on the outside and internally. Also in the report, it does talk about the barrier measures that were attempted to try to stop the routes getting around, but that doesn't appear to have worked. So the recommendation is to remove both of the trees. I did ask a question at the DISC meeting why we need to, prior to the DISC meeting, why we needed to go for the second tree, but that's because those roots probably do the same thing in time. And we are proposing to put the red flowering gum trees there, and I think the mention was six trees there to provide very good shade covering, and also those trees being native to the area, attracting native wildlife fauna to the area that the Moreton Bay trees don't necessarily attract. And it would probably be a bit nicer underneath the trees for people to recreate and make use of the shade once the trees do grow to their size. So urge everyone to support. Thank you.
Councillor Traill.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm a reluctant seconder to this motion because I think we knock over far too many trees, but in this instance, I think if trees don't go, the jail will. And it was noted, I think, at committee that jail's a sad place, but sad places have a place in history and our heritage as well. And we pride ourselves on it as a heritage city. We've got heritage assets that outstrip many most in WA. And just look at Perth, who have knocked over many of their heritage buildings. I think they've regretted it. If we did this is a building on the, if we left this unattended, this is a building on the State Heritage Register. We would be in breach, I think, of our maintenance requirements there. So look, this is about the only option we've got. Deputy Mayor Terry has pointed out the fact that we're going to plant more trees, which is a good thing. They'll take a little while to grow. But I think we should be planting more trees around Albany in general anyway. So sad as it is to see these big trees go, I think in the long run, it's going to be a little short-term pain for long-term gain. So I'm seconding this recommendation reluctantly, but probably with my head rather than my heart. Thank you, Mayor.
Anyone wish to speak against? Councillor McLaren.
Thank you, Mayor. You know, it's interesting that the councillor just mentioned, you know, whether we're speaking with our head or our heart. And perhaps it is because my heart is stimulated tonight. I am choosing to speak with it. During the committee meeting, I spoke with my head, and I can see the very good reasons why the structural damage to the jail must be stopped. And if it has been identified as being caused by the Moreton Bay fix, then that is something I'm concerned about. However, there are only two reports that we have as evidence that this can't be done in some other way. And as Annabelle mentioned in the public question time, isn't there anything else we can do? We just took an extra $67,000 that we're going to find out of somewhere to pay for the railways, women's change rooms, I imagine. And we can't find some way to protect these trees and the jail. And I think that we should ask the officers if they couldn't get us a horticulturalist report on this. We have one arborist, and I know from previous situations where arborists do differ in their opinions about how trees should be handled. Most recently, there was a 800-year-old tree that was cut down by an arborist who, in his or her wisdom, and I'm probably was a he,
In their wisdom, they decided that the entire tree had to be removed when it was a safety issue of a branch. Now we know mistakes can happen. So why don't we ask for some greater transparency and ask for some greater scrutiny on this question? I know the city of Fremantle fought hard to retain the heritage tree at the Catalini Pharmacy, and they managed to do it. The city councilors managed to reverse a decision by the property owners to cut down that tree. Now we seem to be just rolling over quietly with two reports, maybe a horticulturalist report, which may identify how the tree could be perhaps protected and the jail protected, might be a good idea. So in those terms, I feel on this occasion, and see, I use the word feel, that we should oppose this tonight.
Anyone speaking for or against? Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I can't understand why we're arguing. Do we get rid of a tree that was planted in 1980, not native of this area? Lovely tree. Or are we going to go back and get more reports? We've got an arborist who I think significantly was from Denmark. So the dealings with, obviously, Denmark love their trees as well. I love trees, planted 5,000 of the little buggers. So I appreciate trees, but also appreciate history and also appreciate once that jail is damaged to a point, there's no return. Okay, it harbours bad memories, but most of the people who got bad memories are under here anyway. But I think it's more important to look at preserving the jail. Do we keep going and to get a report to try and save the tree? In the meantime, Rome burns. So let's get on with it. And I think a thing we'll have to check too, if we're going to replace it with red flowering gums. Okay, they're a native tree, but are they suited to that more of a salty environment, or are they supposed to be away from the coast a little bit? Because a lot of that area is actually reclaimed. So it's not true, you know, the soil that the trees have been used to in their normal habitat. So let's be a bit more sensible. It's a imported tree, nothing to do with Albany. It's a lovely tree, but I love the old jail more than that not so old tree. Please, let's get rid of it and save the jail.
Councillor Baju.
Thank you, Mayor. As I indicated previously, if you're asking me to choose between a tree and a crumbling old building that glorifies the incarceration and it's a horrid part of our history, generally I would be supporting preserving buildings, but it's going to go on costing us. Looking into the future, it's two things. I think we need to show some leadership, look for an alternative. I would like to leave a legacy for my grandchildren to be climbing trees, not looking at where we used to lock up people. I think we can do better than just removing these glorious trees. We've given way, the number of Moreton Bay figs in Albany have given way to things like sewage pump stations and other infrastructure. Leading with my heart, I think, yeah, give over to Mother Nature. The old jail can go if we had to choose, but I think we can do better with the tree. So I can't in all conscience support this motion.
Anyone else? Councillor Brough.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Look, I'm happy to note these two sort of things. Yeah, I'll level you up, Councillor Sutton. I've got 200,000 trees that put in, so yeah, I love trees too. The ficifolia from Peaceful Bay, it's like 100 k's away. The Moreton Bay figs, they're from 4,000 plus kilometres away. In the spirit of, buy local, grow local, the current trees are causing some problems. A bit like you, Councillor Baju, but sort of not fussed about the jail. But then I think Councillor Traill, you nailed it. Like, bad parts, of history have a place in history. I visited Auschwitz. I'm glad they didn't bulldoze it. It sort of serves as a timely reminder. I'm happy to support this one.
Anyone else? Councillor Leonetti.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I thought I'd never say this, but I'm with Councillor McLaren. I think we're going to chop two trees down, plant another six. Well, I just find that a bit silly because they're just going to, 18, 40 years time, we're going to end up back here and spend another 100,000 to take them out. So either we, if we're going to take them out, we take them out. Or like Councillor McLaren said, we find some other way to fix it because plant six more isn't fixing the problem. Thank you.
Point of order.
Yes.
Just a point of clarification. Through you, I don't know, to someone in the administration, will the ficifolia have the same root problems as the Moreton Bay fig, or will they be non-disruptive?
We discussed that at committee. You know the answer to that, but we'll go to Mr. Cummins.
Through you, Mr. Beer. So I understand that they will not be disruptive. They don't spread out anywhere near as much or anywhere near as invasive as the Moreton Bay figs, that they pretty much go down. So that's why they've been selected by the... That's why they're one of the trees that are recommended by the arborist.
Anyone else? Councillor Terry, you have a right to reply.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just in relation to comments made getting another report. There was in the report, just mentioned that there was a report by an arborist, I think it was maybe the same people, back in 2018, and there was recommendation to put a root barrier there. I didn't mention that when I spoke earlier, and it is mentioned in the report that root barrier doesn't appear to have worked. Trying to chase our tail doing the same thing, or maybe, you know, bigger or more substantial, who knows how much that's going to cost. I don't think that question has been asked, but the other thing also, Councillor Beige, or no, Councillor Trail mentioned the heritage aspect of the old jail, and our requirements as the custodian of or owner of the building. We own it, don't we? Yeah. That for heritage considerations, we need to protect the building. It has been shown that these trees are impacting the building and we need to do something about it. And one other thing with the red flowering gums, and I mentioned about attracting native fauna, one of those native fauna, no doubt be black cockatoos, a habitat down on near the museum. Wouldn't it be great to hear some black cockatoos nesting and roosting near the old jail? I urge you to support. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councillor McLaren, we need an outcome here. So are you prepared to signal that if this motion is lost, that you would put forward a suggestion? Are you prepared to foreshadow an amendment or alternate?
Point of order. Sorry, the debate's closed.
I'm asking, we're not debating. I'm checking in, given that there was virtually an indication that there was an alternate in the mind. She didn't indicate it, but we need an outcome. So if it's lost, are you foreshadowing?
If it's lost, yeah, I will foreshadow an alternative motion.
All right, thank you. I'm going to put that to the vote. All those in favour? Against?
Carried 7-3. Against Councillor Leonetti, Councillor Beju and Councillor McLaren.
DIS 406, proposed permanent road closure portion of Cuthbert Street, Albany, adjoining lot 13, number 5, Cuthbert Street. The recommendation is that the council resolves to permanently close a 135 metre square portion of Cuthbert Street pursuant to section 58 of the Land Administration Act 1997, contingent to this land being amalgamated with lot 13, number 5, Cuthbert Street, Albany. Someone to move that. Councillor McKinley, Deputy Mayor Terry. Councillor McKinley.
No, thank you, Mayor.
Deputy Mayor.
I don't need to add anything, thanks.
Anyone wish to speak against? Not, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour.
Carry 10-0.
DIS 407, proposed permanent road closure portion of Cuthbert Street, Albany, adjoining lot 2, number 18, Cuthbert Street.
Mayor, just a point to make, Councillor Sutton did declare an impartiality and he will remain in the chamber for this item.
Thank you. Committee recommendation is that the Council resolves to permanently close a 450-metre square portion of Cuthbert Street pursuant to Section 58. Of the Land Administration Act 1997, contingent to this land being amalgamated with lot number 29, number 18, Cuthbert Street, Albany. Someone to move that, please. Councillor Brough, Councillor McKinley, Councillor Brough. Councillor McKinley.
No, thanks, mate.
Anyone wish to speak against? Councillor Beaujeu.
Thank you. I can't see that there's any direct community benefit in closing this road section of road reserve. The balance of Cuthbert Street is only 10 metres wide and there's significant shortage of parking and it's very difficult for vehicles to manoeuvre in and out of standard crossovers. If the council were to be the recipient of the proceeds from disposing of this property, I might have a different opinion, but the fact that any proceeds go to the state government means that there's no direct financial benefit to the community. I consider that it's short-sighted to close this section of road. In fact, the alignment for this property and the church to the south shows the, in effect, the 20 metre wide road reserve. So we would actually not be resolving a situation, we'd just be perpetuating things. I can't see that there's a community benefit and I can't support this motion to close and dispose of the road reserve.
Anyone wish to speak against or for? No. If not, we have a right of reply for Councillor Brough, if you wish to do so.
Thanks, Mayor. Look, I won't introduce anything. I just want to acknowledge Councillor Beaujeu's expertise in this area. It's not one of mine. I totally acknowledge that. I'm happy to support the officer's recommendation, though, so that's why I'm backing it in.
Don't know what's going on with our sound tonight, but it's not good. Lots of feedback. Apparently, we've got a technical solution. Don't point your microphone at the roof. Let's see how that goes. Keep them a bit lower. See if that makes any difference. All right. That closes debate. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? Against?
Carried 9-1. Against, Councillor Beaujeu.
DIS 408 draft local planning policy 1.2 shipping containers. The recommendation is that the council resolves to advertise local planning policy 1.2 shipping containers in pursuance of Schedule 2, Clause 4 of the Planning and Development Local Planning Schemes, Regulation 2015. Do we have a mover? Councillor McLaren. Councillor Sutton, Councillor McLaren.
Thank you, Mayor. I urge councillors to support this motion. It's an opportunity for us to hear what the community thinks about this proposal. It was canvassed quite thoroughly in committee. We will see what the community feels about the pitch that we've got. I know there were some questions councillors had about some of the stipulations in the policy. And this is just the beginning of the road to conclude this. So I would think that, you know, we've got a long way to go. And if you still had remaining concerns, that they can be addressed further down the track. The point is to get it started.
Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, down. I know a song about that.
Look, I agree with Councillor McLaren. This is just the beginning. It's not, we're not debating anything to do with the containers other than going to public comment. And let's throw the net out wider, because there's going to be a fair bit of public comment come back about this. So let's put it out to comment, just follow the process, and then we get to have our fight or support or whatever the council wants to do with it once it's gone out and have public comment, because there's going to be a fair few contentious issues. So let's get it out there. Thank you.
Yeah, I wish to speak against Councillor McKinley.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Yes, I understand it's just going to consultation process with the community, but it's going to open up a lot of red tape. You know, it's going to cause a lot of issues. It's going to be a massive can of worms, which the city has to deal with, and we're opening ourselves up to a massive community backlash. So that's why I urge everyone to stop it now and vote against it. We'll come up with something better.
Anyway, I wish to speak for or against. Councillor Leonetti.
Well, you all knew this was coming. Now, I'm with Councillor McKinley. I think we need to stop it here, because this is going to open a big can of worms. I mean, some of the things Jan answered me, and thank you, but really, a lot of the policy, I think we're just gouging into the ratepayers' pockets on these. They are not dangerous. We just need to come up with a better solution. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to contribute for or against? Councillor Brett?
Just a point of clarification.
Yes.
If that's okay, Mayor. I'm just seeking clarification on the consequences of if this passes through. Will it be that there will be no local planning policy regarding sea containers?
I'll go to the Executive Director, Jan.
So just to clarify, was that if this does not get through, whether there won't be a policy? Yes, through Mr. Mayor, that's correct. So if this doesn't go through, there's no policy to guide what happens to sea containers. So what it means is the scheme provisions will prevail then, only with no further guidance.
Happy with the answer?
Yep.
Anyone else wish to speak for or against? Councillor Grimmer?
Yeah, just very briefly, I'm always for going out for community consultation, and while I'm not sure whether I can support the policy itself, I certainly do support the community being able to express their views, so that's why I'm definitely going to support this going out for consultation. Thank you.
Anyone else? Deputy Mayor Terry?
Thank you, Mayor. Look, as Jan said, if we don't put this through, then there won't be a policy. We need a policy. Our officers need some guidance. The community needs some guidance. If you're not happy with aspects of the policy as it's drafted, then put up an amendment. And there were questions asked at the committee meeting, there were answers given, ample opportunity in the last 2 weeks. If you weren't happy with something, then propose something and talk about it here tonight. Otherwise, it's going to go out to the community. I don't think there's going to be there'll be some feedback, and I don't think there'll be a firestorm of comment. But you know, we need to put it out there, and when it comes back with that commentary, with the feedback, if you're not happy with some aspects of it, propose an amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else? We've nearly done the rounds. Councillor, have you spoken or? Yes. Well, Councillor Brough.
Thanks, Mayor. Councillors McKinley and Leonetti have made some great points about the growth of red tape. I think we grow it too much and we don't cut it enough. But Councillor Grimmer's won the day with the community consultation.
And I'm sure that there's going to be comments in there for the policy to incorporate the loophole with the state government, who's really sort of set the tone for this, to make sure that people are aware of the industrial processing plant loophole so that we can get sea containers without a building application. But yeah, let's see what they say. And we can always kill off the policy once we've done the consultation. Maybe the community will say kill it off, and that'll give us an extra nudge.
Anyone else? Councillor Sutton?
This is a point of clarification. If this gets defeated and we haven't got a policy, then what power have the city got to ask for removal of containers inappropriately placed, as the pictures we've seen during the committees?
I'll go to you, yeah.
Thanks for you, Mr. Mayor. So the scheme requires approval. So any container needs approval currently. So if you don't have approval for a container, you need approval for that. What the policy does is it guides the sort of the approval process and what is acceptable and so on. So there's a bit of more certainty that if you apply for a container in a certain position, certain color, that you sort of will have certainty, more certainty about the approval for such a container. Without that, officers are still need to enforce and make sure that containers do have approval, and we can still take it through a process. It's just without the guidance.
Clear? Yep. Anyone else? Right of reply, Councillor McLaren.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, councillors, for very carefully considering this tonight. I think that we have looked at all the facets of this proposal. I think if we turn away at this point and don't put this out for public consultation, we risk chaos. Our job as councillors is to provide orderly planning for our citizens. And our officers have highlighted that this is a stickler for them. They're having to make decisions on the run. They may have inconsistency. Surely we can help them to establish this consistency. Issues of public safety are at stake. Colors have been mentioned. Aesthetics are important. Let's find out what Albany wants. It's our job. We can't know everything. We're only a certain number of people representing different groups. So let's find out. Let's put it out for comment. They put a lot of work into this policy, and I'd like to see it out there in the community to find out exactly what people think. If we don't do that, we are saying that chaos, uncertainty, loopholes, lack of transparency is the kind of governance that we're delivering. And I think we're better than that. I think we can do better than that. I don't see this as red tape. I see this as clear guidelines. Reasonable, it's not costly. We have to do it anyway in the statutory planning system to set it out for public comment. So I urge you, support this.
Thank you. All right, I'll put that to the vote. All those in favor? Against?
Carried 8-2. Against, Councillors Leonetti and Councillor McKinley.
DIS 409, Planning and Building Reports, July 2024. The recommendation is that the Council note the Planning and Building Reports for July 2024. Mover, please. Councillor Sutton, Councillor Trail. No, Councillor Trail. No, you wish to speak against? If not, we'll put that to the vote. All those in favour?
Carried 10-0.
PRO 105, the CEO performance review. There are confidential attachments. Is there anyone who wishes to refer to the confidential attachment? You have the KPIs in front of you or not, but If you wish to do so, we need to go behind closed doors. Anyone wishing to refer to the confidential attachment and question it? No? So we'll ask Mr. Sharp to vacate the building. No. Excellent, probably should. Yep, I'll ask the staff to leave. No. Pardon? All right, okay, we'll leave it as it is. No. There you go, that makes it easy. But the committee recommendation is that Council accept Mr. Andrew Sharp's annual performance review as the Chief Executive Officer for the City of Albany for 2023-24 has been undertaken, and accept that the Chief Executive Officer's Performance Review Committee's recommended CEO key performance indicators for the period 24-25 and associated recommendations contained in the attached confidential CEO annual appraisal report. Somebody to move that, please. Councillor McKinley. Deputy Mayor Terry. Councillor McKinley.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. It was a very thorough, extensive evaluation process. The KPIs were thoroughly examined by all councillors, and it was a great process. We had an outside consultant as well to assist us with the process. We made the CEO sweat, I'm pretty sure. But he's done a great job since I've been on council since October, and he'll be pushing forward for the next year. We've added some additional KPIs for next year, and we're all confident that he will push through with those. So thanks. I hope you support this motion.
Deputy Mayor Terry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor McKinley. And I just want to thank everybody, all councillors, for their input into Andrew's or CEO's performance appraisal. I think the consultant mentioned it was the first time in a few years that everyone's contributed, which is really, really good, and some really good feedback with the overall performance rated very highly. I think we are, in my now almost 9 years on council, Andrew has been the CEO throughout that whole time, and his leadership throughout that whole period has been exemplary. And the consultant has many times made the comment that Andrew was highly sought after by some other local governments in the metro area, but he's very, very happy down here, and we are very, very happy with him. He had a difficult 12 to 18 months, especially on the industrial relations issues and some personal attacks by the union, which he weathered and got through and was vindicated. And we all backed him as well. I think Andrew is very, very appreciative of the backing that we all have. And he's also very appreciative of the executive director team, emergency management team, but the executive development, the executive director team, EMT. Guys, thank you very much for your help for Andrew in him achieving his KPIs, because he delegates that down to you three and you delegate it further down to get things done. So it's a really good, very good report. We had a good discussion around the KPIs, and thank you for your input for that. And we arrived at, I hope it seems to be, there hasn't been any debate on those specifics. It's good to look forward to the next 12 months. And I hope we're here in 12 months' time praising Andrew's efforts again. Thank you.
Any speakers wish to speak against? Councillor Beaujeu.
Not wishing to speak against, so just wanting a clarification of dates in the KPIs.
The question is?
In the final KPI on the back page, where it talks about for adoption in the 24-25 annual budget. I'm just wondering if in fact that should be next year's budget, not the one we've just adopted.
I think it's relevant to this year's budget because it's this year's activity. Ask me the question again now. So hopefully I get the feedback.
So if one of the KPIs relates to reviewing, preparing a budget, a rating strategy for delivery, when adopting, and it reads at the moment for adopting the 24-25 annual budget.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's 25-26, so we'll amend that. Good question. Thank you. Can we amend that on the screen, please? Oh, it's in the KPIs, isn't it? Yes. Yep, right. We'll adjust the KPI. Thank you for the question. Anyone wish to speak against? I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour?
Carried 10-0.
Thank you.
Well, the mayor asked me to vacate the building, so
Congratulations, that's been passed, and we're ready and set to go for the next year. Look forward to it.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, can I perhaps just a quick comment, if I can, just my appreciation to you, Mr. Mayor, elected members, for your leadership and your confidence in my leadership, to the executive team. Thank you for your ongoing support, and to the staff and the community. I really love this community. Enjoy working here and appreciate your support. Thank you.
As do we, you. There is no new business of an urgent nature introduced by decision of council. There are no notices of motion of which a previous notice has been given. No reports of city officers, so I'll declare the meeting closed at 8:07.